I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio, two Catholics that love the Lord, love Our Lady, love Holy Mother Church, and this is where we engage the culture of death with prayer, fasting, telling the truth, and full contact Catholicism. I'm on duty, Terry. What about you?
Yes, I'm on duty to tell the truth, the full truth, and nothing less. And Jess, I got to tell you, every day is such a blessing to be able to study my Catholic faith. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, everybody listening to the shows, they're studying, they're learning the most important thing about life, which is how to get to heaven. Now, before we get the good news, the gospel, I just want to tease you. We've got a story about how a stray bullet went into a young boy, but it hit a crucifix and saved his life. He didn't die from it. It's a great story. And I'm going to tell you about St. Anthony Claret, because his story is similar. Also, this is a question we got to ask. Why did God allow Biden and Harris to prevail? You know, there's some interesting things we're going to say about that because it's going to happen. The other thing that we're going to talk about, which is most important, about praying the rosary to heal a troubled world. We keep saying you're not on the team if you're not praying the daily rosary. You're going to find out some things about the rosary that I think will really be impressive for you to start if you're not already praying the daily rosary. Encourage others to do the same. But before we get into all of the programming of the show, I love being able to say to Jesse, Jess, I want some soul food, brother.
Terry, all the readings are amazing today. I just want to mention one thing about the responsorial psalm.
It's been all week.
Yeah, it says, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say, praise the Lord, Washington.
Nope.
Or praise the Lord, Mecca.
Or Moscow. Nope.
Yeah, right. It says, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means city of peace.
Amen.
But I want to go to the gospel today. I think there's a lot of
beautiful
potatoes, a lot of spiritual exegesis here.
Yep.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. The scripture reads, it happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. And when he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I do will it. Be made clean. And the leprosy left him immediately. Then he ordered him not to tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Those are the Levite priests. Mm-hmm. And offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed that will be proof for them. The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. And he withdrew, but he would withdraw, to deserted places to pray.
Uh-huh.
The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What's that last statement? He went where?
To play ping pong?
Nope.
To go watch ESPN?
Nope.
To pray. Mm, interesting. If the second person of the Godhead saw fit to pray, what does that say about us? Everything that Jesus Christ does in his Gospels, by the way, he does as an example.
Amen.
For his followers. He's called a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Disciple means student of the teacher. So whatever we see Jesus do and say, he left us that as an example. Some other things that jump out at me. The man full of leprosy. The early church fathers would say that leprosy, what's worse than the physical leprosy of your skin falling apart, is a leprosy of the soul, and that's called mortal sin. And so if you're thinking, man, I'd never want to have leprosy, if you're in mortal sin, you're worse than a leper, because God can heal a leper, but mortal sin, again, that takes sanctifying grace. It takes God chemotherapy.
Amen.
And it says here, but notice, when he saw Jesus, this leper, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. He fell prostrate. Yeah. Notice he wasn't standing up like a resurrected people with his hands, folded, making a cup. Okay? He fell prostrate. The Greek word is kneeling or on your face. That's what the Greek word is, proskuneo. It doesn't mean he was standing up because he's a resurrected person and he has his hands together forming a throne. It doesn't say that. Okay? Let's follow what the Bible says. Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. What's more important than the cleansing of the body? The cleansing of the soul. Does Jesus make him clean? Yeah. Jesus touches him. Jesus touches us when you go to Mass every day.
Amen.
As that Holy Eucharist touches your lips, guess what? It makes you clean. And the Bible says that the leprosy left him immediately. I'll tell you what's more powerful than the healing of a body is the healing of the soul. That's a greater miracle.
Amen.
And now Jesus is saying, don't tell anybody about this. Go show yourself to the priest. There's a New Testament parallel. Notice, go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing. And so Jesus Christ sends them, after he's healed them, he sends it to the Old Testament priest. He's letting them know that there's an authority structure in the Old Testament, and there will be an authority structure in the New Testament. And it includes ministerial priests. And it says, the report about him spread all the more. The great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. Well, why did Jesus Christ leave after? And he said, don't tell anybody. Because these people, the Israelites, were so hardened in their hearts and their understanding. They were desiring so much a warlord, a revivification of King David to lead a great army to smash the Roman legions. And that's why Jesus said, if they see him performing miracles, they're going to mistake me as the Messiah warlord. That's at the end of time. The first Messiah, the first coming of Christ, will be as the babe in Bethlehem, the Lamb of God. And Jesus ends this encounter, Terry, by going out, not to do push-ups and pull-ups and all that. He went away to go and pray.
Yeah. And that's what we need to be doing right now, is going away and praying. And Jess, I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room right now. It's Archbishop Fulton Sheen, with that locomotive train. And on board is Mother Teresa. All week long, Mother has been visiting Fulton Sheen. And here's what Mother has to say to Bishop Sheen and to us. She said, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much. Now, I just want to give a commentary on that. Last night after a prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, some of the ladies asked me, geez, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to do our daily duty. We're going to get up, say our prayers. We're going to go serve my wife and family and do my job at work and do it with passion as I'm serving Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do every day. And I say this because St. Ignatius of Loyola in the spiritual exercises was asked that same question. And they said, what would you be doing, my friend, if you knew the second coming of Christ was coming this afternoon? He said, whatever my duty was calling me to do at that time. Because that's what we're called to do. So, in other words, don't get flustered. God's given you the graces to respond in a positive way, to do your daily duty and do it well and get to heaven. I just don't want people to go to what we call a secular approach that says, put your mask on, get behind the door, close your door, don't go outside. You got a quarantine now in Southern California. They don't want us to drive more than 120 miles without self-quarantining. My point to you is, what about the quarantine of sin? We live in a world that's so decadent, we're going to talk about this, that we forgot about the soul and we're worried so much about the body. What is Mother saying again? She's saying that God is going to give you the graces to handle all the tribulations that are coming, even an election that was stolen. We're going to be able to handle that. Yes, through God's grace. All right, Jess, I had to
Here, let me mention something. It's very powerful what you just said, because it's biblical. You're talking about do your daily duty.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do? Biden's going to win.
Yeah.
He stole the prayer. He's going to be the prayer. What do you do? You said it. Do your daily duty.
Yep.
And you know what you're telling people? You're basically telling people what St. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, bear your share of hardship along with... bear your share of hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus to satisfy the one who recruited you. A soldier does not become entangled in the business affairs of life. So what's our duty, as Terry said? be a soldier of Christ.
Amen.
In canon law, a priest is told, a priest has what's called a threefold munus. Munus means duty in Latin, duty. We have a munus, Latin, a duty also, to live in a state of grace according to our state in life. A priest says his munus, his duty is to teach, govern, and sanctify in his state in life. All of us have a munus. That means an obligation or duty in Latin. What Terry's always saying, do your duty, do your munus. What's our munus? Very simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's our King. Number two, be holy as my heavenly Father is holy. Number three, Matthew 28:19, go out and evangelize. Terry knows all about that. He wrote a whole book on that.
Jesse, all I can say, and Paul Clay just texted us and said, hey, man, he's going to be calling in and giving us his take.
He's always a voice of reason.
You got that right. I also want to mention the 16th of this month, we have the Spiritual Warfare Conference coming up. There's still room to register. Go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Jesse, before we get to this next segment, which is really just a good news story, I want to tease everybody. Everybody's heard of St. Anthony Claret. He converted Cuba from they were into Satanism down in Cuba until St. Anthony came and converted them. And he's got an amazing story I'm going to tell when we come back from the break that I think will move you, because we also have a story about an Argentinian boy who was saved from a stray bullet by what? A bulletproof vest? No, Jesse. A crucifix, brother. Wow. Much, much more. What are we here to do? Inspire you. Place your trust not in any government. Place your trust in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, here at Virgin.
The government of the Messiah.
You got it, Jess. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our God is the God of miracles. Did you hear about the Argentinian boy who was saved from a stray bullet? New Year's Eve. Yep. A 9-year-old Argentine boy was saved from a stray bullet. How? He was wearing a small metal crucifix around his neck.
Amazing.
That hung over his chest. The local media was calling it a New Year's miracle. Essentially, the police got a report in the city of San Miguel de Tucumán. About 10 p.m., December 31st, New Year's Eve, a 9-year-old boy named Tiziano from the neighborhood of Las Talitas. Derry's probably happy that I'm reading it.
Yeah, Las Talitas. Oh, my gosh.
He checked in with his father into the emergency room of the, I love this name, of the Baby Jesus Hospital.
What a name for a hospital. I love it.
That's in the southern part of the capital. He had a superficial wound in the thorax, which is the upper part of the chest. It was produced by a gunshot, by a firearm.
Yep.
So after several doctors checked him out for about almost an hour, the boy was released. And the boy's name is Tiziano. Tiziano's family contacted a journalist from the local paper. The paper is called Telefe. And they reported that the boy's life was saved. The bullet hit in the middle of the small metal crucifix that the boy received as a gift from his who? Father. Talk about spiritual protection from the father.
That is awesome.
That's called spiritual patriarchal protection.
Yep.
So the boy, Tiziano, his aunt sent Sylvia a picture of how the bullet damaged the crucifix, which prevented the bullet from causing any real damage except for a superficial wound. And so, Terry, we thank the Lord for this miracle. And I'm telling you, Terry, things like this happen every single day
if
we just look at the world with the eyes of faith.
And Jesse, St. Anthony Claret had a similar story in the 19th century when he was converting Cuba to Christianity. And what happened was he was converting hundreds of thousands of souls, and the devil worshipers, these were the Indian guys that were working with the devil with black magic, they were pretty upset. So they put two guys on a job to kill St. Anthony Claret when he was coming back from Mass. They shot him point blank, and the bullet hit the pectoral cross of the bishop and deflected. And the guys went like, what? We just hit this guy front and center with our gun. They went down on their knees like, how could this be? And the saint went over to these guys and said, young man, time for confession. Let's get back to Christ. He heard the boys' confessions that were trying to kill him, and now they're in the fold. See, God can work these miracles. Even 2021 miracles are taking place. We've got Paul Clay, who's on Jesus 911 with Jesse every week.
Voice of reason.
Voice of reason is right. Paul Clay, Happy New Year, brother. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Happy New Year, my brothers. Listen, I love listening to you guys, Terry, and I had to shout out amen because you guys bring it right back to where it needs to be, mm-hmm. and that's talking about our duty.
Yeah.
What is our duty as Christians,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
as Catholic Christians? And that duty is simply bloom where God has placed you.
Amen.
Do what
mm-hmm.
God has called you to do. We have a yeah. different duty. And me, myself as a father,
yeah.
I have a different duty than my, you know, one of my spiritual fathers as a priest, you know?
Right.
Listen, even when the Bible goes through history and, you know, it talks about, you know, who was king and who is it, but that's all, you know, matter of fact, mm-hmm. because the Bible, what that is, as you guys already know, it's our family history.
Amen.
And God,
right.
God is more concerned about the family that he has established, the relationship with him and his children. And if we concentrate on that and just, yeah, you know, we have to glance at what's going on around us, you know. We're looking at the real possibility of Joe Biden being in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
But guess what? As far as God is concerned, that's no big deal because okay. his family is in place. We have our mission. We have our marching orders, and that's to emulate Christ like you guys were alluding to earlier. And I just want to encourage everybody, you know, this is an exciting time to be in right now,
Amen.
No matter what happens, because we represent God.
Well said, Paul.
Paul, it reminds me, it's not like in the Old Testament in Israel and Judah. Most of the kings were wicked. I think I was reading last night, I think only three kings were good kings. You think God was saying, oh, no, Manasseh's on the throne. Oh, no, what are we going to do? It's yeah. chaos. My people are being governed by a wicked king. God is in control. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, that, you know, the government will be on his shoulders. Jesus
Amen.
Christ can handle an apostate Catholic. He can handle anybody, wicked people.
That's right.
The fact of the matter is, we got our marching orders. We got to keep plowing forward. You know what they say in the Army? My son's a sergeant in the Army. They say, you know, we got a, well, you got a colonel, brother, that was a, they use the word Charlie. We got a Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike. In the Army, that means we got to continue the mission. And so I'm going to tell everybody out there,
Charlie Mike.
What do we got to do, Jess? Charlie Mike.
Amen.
Continue the mission. What's our
Amen.
Mission?
Amen.
Lift high the cross of Jesus
Ooh,
Christ.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on
Amen.
Jesus. Charlie Mike, continue the mission.
Yes. Listen, diversity only gives us opportunity.
Well said. Paul, keep going. This is inspirational Catholic radio.
Terry, why do you think I brought him in on Monday?
Oh, absolutely, Paul.
The guy just, yes. I mean, for 30 years, this guy just met, every time we talk,
yeah.
Paul just has this deep-rooted scriptural yeah. wisdom that he always encourages
yeah.
me with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Paul, let me throw one more question at you, brother. This is the first of the year, okay? And a lot of people, the culture right now is saying, be scared of what, you know, is going to be coming in the new year. Don't have any trust for anything. I want to ask you right now for some advice for our listeners. What are the, let's just name two or three things that you would recommend people to do to build up their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it's no secret for us Catholics. We know that's to remain in a state of grace, to attend Mass and to, you know, develop your daily prayer life. It's those simple things.
Yep.
It never goes beyond the simple things, Terry,
right.
as you
right.
and Jess preach, you know, every time you're on the radio. It's the simple things, and it's those things that seem like, is that really going to make a difference? Oh, watch and see, you know?
Sure.
You know, is receiving the Lord in the Holy Eucharist going to make a difference?
Absolutely.
Taste and see.
You got it.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and so the idea is, you know, listen, when Pope John Paul, Saint Pope John Paul II, you know, when he was elected Pope, what were his words? Be not afraid. We don't have to be afraid, because why? We already know what the last line is, and all we have to do is stay encouraged and remember the light shines brightest in the darkest.
Amen.
Like I said, this gives us opportunity, and
Amen.
We should all be smiling with
exactly.
that opportunity, because it's an opportunity to show the Lord how much we love him, how much we trust him. Even when, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right?
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. And what?
Yep.
And
this is a Psalm. This is a Psalm 23 moment, Paul.
Yep.
Yeah. And one last quote from the scriptures.
Sure.
I will not be afraid, though 10,000 men set themselves about me round about. That was the declaration of the psalmist. I will not be afraid, and guess what? We won't be afraid. We won't be intimidated. Why? Because we know that our Redeemer lives.
Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you ready? The book of Maccabees.
I'm ready to.
Remember the story in Maccabees? They were asking him to compromise his faith and to eat meat. Remember that story? And I'm going to relate that to right now in our culture. If they're going to ask us to compromise our faith in the culture that we're living in, we have to say, not on my watch, even if it gave us a couple years extra on our life, but it compromised our moral teachings. Tell us a little bit about what happened in that Old Testament story.
Okay, I'm drawing a blank, Terry.
All right, well, I'll give you a hint. He's an old 80-year-old man, and they're telling him that if he compromises his faith and eats the meat that's forbidden for a Jew, then he'll be able to live for a few more years. Jess, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and again...
So what do you do? We have to say no. No compromise here.
They stood up for their faith, and the brothers, there were seven Maccabean brothers that were killed one at a time.
In front of them.
And the king was so wicked that he had the mom watch.
Yep.
The mom watched every single one of her sons not apostatize.
And they were murdered.
Murdered in front of her. In fact, the book of Hebrews talks about it. It talks about, in chapter 11, about the seven brothers who were killed. It refers to that Maccabean story.
Right.
And each of those brothers, basically, they would not apostatize, reject the faith at the in the one true God. And the mom was even rallying to their, don't apostatize, sons. Your mom, you're being killed in front of your mom, and they're cutting your head off, whatever they did. I think they cut their heads off.
Yeah.
And the mom was saying, don't apostatize. I'll see you in the next life.
That's inspirational, Jess. And Paul, my point to you is we're living
in time. We'll read that story on Monday. We'll read it on Monday.
There you go. You guys do it on Monday.
Yeah.
Paul, I want to thank you, though, for what you do. Finish up. We got about a minute and a half. I want to let you have the last words. Go ahead, brother.
Terry, listen, God calls us to present ourselves as living and holy sacrifices.
That's right.
And that, that comes because of our baptism and the fact that he stood of all believers.
Right.
We can now present ourselves as living and holy sacrifices.
Yep.
And that sacrifice, may be martyrdom. To God be all the glory, whatever path that he directs us to take, he'll give us the grace to sustain it. And
that's
so
right.
Just like the Maccabean brothers, it was martyrdom, God, he's going to work differently in all of us, but he will give us the grace no matter what to sustain us.
Amen.
First Corinthians 10. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, very biblical.
God is not going to tempt us beyond the
and that's what,
without supplying the grace for us to overcome it.
And that's why Saint Mother Teresa's word today to Bishop Sheen was, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. And that's exactly what we have right now. So don't be afraid. Trust. That's the message I'd like to give.
And we might be Mother Teresa, and we might say, but Lord, why, maybe you trust me too much.
Yeah, that's what she said the last part. Yeah.
His grace is sufficient.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
And it will be sufficient to sustain us through anything that Satan brings our way, because, the Lord, we know what the end says, that Jesus will vanquish all his enemies, including death.
I love it. Thank
here's
you.
One. Here's one last point I want to make. I think you guys will appreciate that.
Yeah.
I told this to Anita this morning. She laughed, and this is true. In heaven, there will be no politics or politicians. And that has a double meaning there.
I got this double meaning, brother.
In heaven, there will be no politics. We're going to be under the governorship of Christ the King. There's no politics and no politicians. Double meaning.
Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All right, Paul.
Bless, fellas.
Thanks, man. God love you. Hey, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, two guys with PhDs in common sense. Terry, just want to just mention, they could read the article on their own. It's well written. It's written by Dave Gordon. He's the brother of Tim Gordon.
Yeah.
And the article is called, Why Did God Allow Biden and Harris to Prevail? I'll take two or three things out of it. The number, what Dave Gordon is essentially saying is this. He's saying, guys.
Yeah, we sleep at the wheel.
Look at your neighbor to your left, neighbor to your right. Look at your own family. Look at yourself. Look at the people across the street. We've become a culture here in America. We accept homosexuality, abortion, fornication, pornography, drunkenness, marijuana of all sorts. And so we're like wondering, why are bad things happening to us? David said, guys, sin has consequences.
That's right.
And the article comes down to this, Terry.
Yeah.
If you have an immoral people is going to be governed by an immoral government. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Because as he says, the founding fathers, the Protestant founding fathers, said that Americans have to be a people of virtue.
And God-fearing. That's right.
Terry, we've walked away from that.
Yeah, Jess, that's really clear. And Ronald Reagan even mentioned this in the 80s. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream.
Bingo.
It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or one day we will spend a sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in the United States when men were free.
Jesse, we may be there, Terry. This may be what Reagan was prophesying.
And you know, Jesse, when you've talked about look at your neighbors, think about this. I've said this for a couple years now with this statistic. We got 340 million people in the country. 110 million, almost 33% of the people are walking around with sexually transmitted diseases. Okay? The American government, through its medical work, we spend $16 billion, that's a B, a year, taking care of people who made bad choices and made choices of sin to get into a sexual disease. And we wonder why we're in this mess. I always say this, Jess, the Catholic Church has the answer for America, for a good economy. It's called go along and live by the Ten Commandments. Just this year, last year now, you and I, it was Bishop Strickland Hour. I did a show on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, and we got banned off of YouTube. I'm sorry we did. They said that we offended the public because of what our position was, that marriage is supposed to be between a man and... Yeah, you're laughing. I'm like, Jesse, I'd be laughing 25 years ago if you told
me... Here.
Get me up. And that's where we're at. And so we really do need to bring back God. And also, I think a fear of God, Jesse, in a good sense. You know what I think everybody thinks? That if there is a God, he's okay. He's cool, man. He doesn't mind that I fornicate. He doesn't mind that I'm committing adultery or stealing millions of dollars. Because you know what? This God up there, he's cool. No, that's the bad image. That is so wrong. But that's the mentality. We've lost our senses of what the meaning and purpose of life's about.
Terry, when Isaiah the prophet saw God in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw him in his throne in heaven,
yeah,
he didn't say, God is cool. Exactly. He said, God is holy.
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 Amen, brother.
Holy. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And Terry, and I'll tell you,
tell
in
me.
Order to repair America,
yeah.
you have to repair the church first.
That's
Why
true.
Why do I say that? Why
well,
do I say that?
Point.
Because it's biblical. It's in 1 Peter 4:17, the first pope says, he says, for it is time for judgment to begin with America. No, it says with God's household. What's that? The church. Judgment begins at God's home. Household. 1 Peter 4:17.
That's right.
And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So St. Peter, the first pope, is saying there's a twofold judgment of God upon the world. The first judgment is always against the church because we have more moral culpability because we've been given the fullness of faith.
Absolutely.
Then the judgment falls upon the rest of the unbelieving world because they don't obey the gospel already. But again, the supernatural, which is the church, is supposed to guide and evangelize the natural, which is a government, and it just hasn't happened very well, Terry, in the last 60 years.
Well, Jesse, in my lifetime, let's be honest, in my lifetime, and in yours, because you were born in the 60s,
yeah.
we had about 70 to 75% of Catholics in my country, United States of America, were attending Mass on a Sunday. Now, statistics I have, Jess, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's down to 8%.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Now, does that say anything about what people believe and what people think is important right now? And I say this, Jesse, not just our own country, but worldwide. There's a priest out in Ireland. Now they're saying that they're shutting down the churches, no masses. He said, I just wish people would love the Mass enough. And I'm going to be honest with you, take a risk that they might get sick, possibly a small percentage will, and a very minus small percentage would die. And we're going, no, I can't do that. Put your mask on. Stay at home. See, that the risk that people take going to church is so small, but the governments and the even our own church members have said, no, I don't want you to take a risk. You know, God wants you to stay home and just, you know, well, go ahead and watch your soap opera. What, not saying that, but the point of it is they're idle. The point I'm trying to convey is we need to turn to God and put our trust in him, not in man.
Terry, here's 2 points I'm going to make. You're talking about that there will be a remnant.
Yes, a remnant.
There's actually two popes that have said that in recent times.
That's right, in our own lifetime.
I'll quote to you one that you know about, obviously.
Benedict XVI.
Yeah. Father Joseph Ratzinger said this. He became Pope Benedict in 1969.
That's right.
He said this, okay? He said, what will the church look like in 2000? He says, perhaps the time has come to say farewell to the idea of traditionally Catholic cultures. Maybe we're facing a new and different kind of epoch, that means era, in the church's history, where Christianity will again be characterized more by the mustard seed, where it exists in small, insignificant groups that nonetheless live an intensive struggle against evil and bring the good into the world that let God in. So that's in Father Ratzinger, Pope Benedict's book, Ratzinger and the Salt of the Earth. Again, he said that the church is going to get small like a mustard seed. Also, here's something most people, Pope Paul VI said the same thing. Okay? He said the same thing in a book called The Secrets of Pope Paul VI, page 152. He says this, it is necessary that a small flock exist no matter how small it should be. So we've had two popes in our lifetime that have warned us that the church is going to get very small. This is also based on what St. Paul says in two passages. St. Paul warned us, Romans 11:5. He said, so too, at the present time, there's a remnant chosen by grace. Then St. Paul talks about it in Romans 9:27 again. He's talking about the Jews, that even amongst the Jews, there'll be a small fraction that'll be saved. He says this, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. So again, Terry, I just tell people, live in a state of grace.
Exactly.
Be holy, evangelize. Make sure you're part of the remnant.
Jesse, we got a question. It was text to me. It says, are the prophecies of Ezekiel like Ezekiel 7:23. Look it up in your Bible. I think I know the quote he's talking about. Ezekiel 7:23 to 7:27 apply to us.
Well, I have to look it up.
Look it up, because that's I think Ezekiel 7:23 to 27. Yeah, I think it's about the Ezekiel, the quote where the people have lost their faith. In other words, they're turning away. Similar
Ezekiel,
to what we have.
Ezekiel 23 to 27. Prepare chains, for the land is full of bloodshed, and the city is full of violence.
Abortion.
I will bring the most wicked of nations to take possession of their houses.
Yeah, that's what he's.
I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated.
Wow.
When terror comes, they will seek peace in vain. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will go searching for a vision from the prophet. Priestly instruction, priestly instruction in the law will cease. Be quiet.
Exactly.
The council of the elders will come to an end. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with despair. And the hands of the people of the land will tremble. I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standards I will judge them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel the prophet is talking about something that happened in his day and age. You have Ezekiel, you have Jeremiah. They dealt with the Assyrian and the Babylonian and the Persian world powers that came, decimated the Jews, beat them up in battle, threw chains on them, and deported them. Specifically, Ezekiel's talking about the Babylonians when they became world power, and the Persians, the Jews. The Jews in the north, they're called the Israelites, the 10 tribes in the north. They were decimated. But when you read these words, Terry, it sounds exactly like what's happening in America.
Exactly.
And what does this mean? So the whoever sent you this is correct.
Yep.
The Bible has what's called, multiple senses of interpretation. So there's a historical interpretation to Ezekiel that did happen to the Jews under the Babylonian kingdom. However, there's a spiritual fulfillment in this verse. This will happen to us, the new Israel of God, the new chosen people of God in the Catholic Church, sometime in the future, and the future may be now.
Well said. You know, when we come back, we're going to talk about the hidden power of the rosary. And I got to tell you, if you notice, we're making a little change here. The election's over. We're going to be talking about how to be holy.
Because, well, I'm burned out, Terry. Yeah. I'm burned out of politics. Yeah. I'm telling you now.
Yeah. And I think everybody needs to get back, right back to what's most
important.
Time
to disconnect.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to come back.
It got stolen. We lost.
Yeah.
Time to replug into Jesus.
Exactly. Because that's the only thing that really matters in life.
Yep.
We'll be back with more talking about the hidden power of the Holy Rosary on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Man, if you've got a pulse, man, you've got to be realizing that what we're giving you is gold, pure gold. What it is, right. The Catholic faith and with no compromise. Kenny in Florida, you're calling in. I want to welcome you. We haven't heard from you in a long time, brother. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, guys. Great show today.
Thanks, brother.
I just had to jump in there when you were doing the Old Testament prophecy.
Maccabees.
That took place. It was real. When I was in Saudi Arabia getting ready for the Gulf War, our priest one day, we were at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, well, you know, a lot of the Protestants are saying this is a prophecy from Isaiah. This is from that and that. He says, I want everyone to understand something. Those things already took place.
Correct.
But the key you have to keep in mind is God telling us today, this is how I treat my people.
Amen.
So beware.
Yep.
I'll do it again.
That's right. There's
teachings
in that Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They have historical fulfillment. But they also have future implications.
Yep.
Good comment, Kenny.
Thanks.
Good comment.
Thanks, Kenny. I appreciate it.
And along those same lines, real quick before I jump off, again, the whole thing we're dealing with the liturgy, years ago, I heard the same type of a statement. When you read the Old Testament, when God's setting up the temple, the vestments,
yes,
he is exacting on how things are to be done, and that has not changed.
Yeah. Amen. God's a God of order.
Yeah. We don't have the option to do what we want with the liturgy. Oh, we're going to have Pepsi instead of wine. We're going to have this instead of that. No, you don't.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
Or the same thing will be punished for it.
I want to give a plug.
Anyway, that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Kenny. Let me give you a plug for Adoramus.org, a liturgy organization that I'm involved with that gives you straight talk when it comes to the liturgical teachings of the church. And you're absolutely
that
right.
That hasn't been implemented.
It hasn't been implemented. Well, the real Vatican II, please stand up. Kenny, you're a good man. Call us anytime, brother. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Keep up the good work, guys.
You got it. Yes, let's talk about the rosary, man.
Terry, I just tweeted something. I think.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Kind of humorous.
You got to do it about heaven.
I just tweeted this right now. I said, here is a thought to put everybody's mind at ease. In heaven, there are no politicians
praise
and
God.
No politics.
Amen.
And I put double meaning. Heaven is governed alone.
Yeah.
By Christ the King. See Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And the first lady in heaven is his holy mother. So I just put that out there, just try to put people's minds at ease, because I'm trying to help people. They keep talking about, I don't even care. You think I would care? I've written 2 books on politics. So I am steeped in, I've written 500 to 600 pages on politics. I got 2 books. I don't care. It got stolen. God allowed it to happen. Let's go back to what's important. What I call first principles. Jesus. My holiness. Evangelization. Let's go back to first principles. Okay? God will deal with these traitors and these treacherous people at their personal judgment. Trust me. Nobody's going to get away with anything. Terry.
Before I go to the rosary, I want to just give a little plug. Because in a few minutes, we're going to have the Bible with the Barbers, and it's on talking. Well, let me just bring my wife in. Studio A, I'll have Mr. Richard, our engineer, plug her in. Mary, are you there? Not yet. Okay. We'll catch her in. I can see her, but I guess technically we don't. I want her to give a little plug about the worldview. What is our worldview? And we're going to be talking about that in the next hour. For those who can't get us on the radio, we have an app. It's called Virgin Most Powerful Radio's app. And if we ever get taken off anywhere, we always have our app. So I want to just say for our listeners, Jess, just as a backup, download the app, because that way you'll be able to get us. Okay, Mary Danielle with the Bible with the Barbers, just give us a plug on what you're going to be talking about after the Terry and Jesse show. And thank you for joining us.
Well, you're quite welcome. And after the Terry and Jesse show, we're going to be talking about something that Jesse just mentioned.
Yeah, I know.
You know, what is our worldview? Are we confined to this world, or are we looking toward heaven?
Amen.
What are we looking for? And how do we get that view? Where do we look for that view? So I hope you're all joining us on Bible with the Barbers, and we're going to try to get you another worldview that'll give you more hope.
Well, thank you, Mary Danielle. And I'll be joining you, and I'll be pushing you and saying, yay, team, let's do it. Thank you so much. Jesse, back to the rosary now. We want to give people inspiration on praying that daily rosary, our heavenly peace plan from heaven. Our Lady of Fatima told us that's the key to world peace. Yeah. That's the key to falling in love with Jesus, in my opinion, is those mysteries talk all about the life and death of Christ.
Terry, let me start off by quoting St. Padre Pio, and it's important because I tweeted probably about a month ago that prayer is a weapon, and then somebody, I don't want to mention the person's name, they're well known, they're a liberal Catholic, progressive, tweeted and said, Jess Romero doesn't know what he's talking about. Prayer's not a weapon. What's he talking about? So then I tweeted, St. Padre Pio said, love the Madonna and pray the rosary, for her rosary is the weapon against the evils of the world today. Obviously, the person, he was a priest, he didn't respond back. He didn't know about that quote.
Check mark.
Yeah, and so here's one that I think for you spiritual warfare devotees that you'll like. In this article, it says this. It is believed that a miracle occurred when Saint Dominic placed a rosary over a possessed man's neck.
Yeah.
Thousands of demons were expelled.
What? Thousands? No, no. How many?
This microphone?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it could be because, I'll tell you why, Terry, because a legion is 6,000, okay?
Yeah.
4,000 to 6,000. So, yeah. So when in the Bible, when the person says, "Who are you?" "We are legion." A legion is 4,000 to 6,000. So it's, when it says here, St. Dominic expelled thousands of demons, it was a legion. But notice what he did. He placed that sacramental of the rosary over the possessed man's neck. And it says here in the article, a couple of years, centuries later, Blessed Alain de Roche in 1475 worked tirelessly to restore the devotion of the rosary. But I think the best stuff, Terry, here is from Fulton Sheen on the rosary.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what he says. Okay. Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen artistically described the prayer of the rosary. He said this. This is all Sheen. All of it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
The rosary is the book of the blind.
It's a great
where
one.
Souls see and they're enact the greatest drama of love the world has ever known.
Wow.
It is the book of the simple.
Yep.
Which initiates them into the mysteries and knowledge more satisfying than the education of other men. The rosary is the book of the aged, whose eyes close upon the shadow of this world and open on the substance of the next world. The power of the rosary is beyond description. Close quote. Terry?
Let me give a story about Louis Pasteur about the rosary. You probably know he was the head pasteurized milk that we drink every day here all over the world. Well, Louis Pasteur was on a train. He's an elderly man, and he's praying his rosary because he was a devout Catholic. And some of the people that were on the train were college students. And they saw the old man praying his rosary, and they went over to him and said, "Old man, get rid of that rosary. Science has the answer to all of our problems. Religion doesn't know anything." So Louis Pasteur said, "Really? Well, tell me more, young man." So he starts talking to him about science and how we can figure out everything on our own. We don't need God. So Louis says, "Hey, let me give you my card and we can continue our conversation. You want to send me books? And that's fine. Here's my card. I have an address. Let's carry on a dialogue." And the young man says, "Oh, absolutely, old man. Let me have your card." He looks at the card and it says, "Dr. Louis Pasteur." And the young teenager college student goes, "What? You're Louis Pasteur? I didn't know. I said, "It's okay. But I want to teach you that science isn't God. You really do need to know the meaning and purpose of life, and it's revealed through Jesus Christ." So he power preached to this young student, you know, about the rosary and about God. To again, that's just an indication today, Jesse. We have college students who are saying, the professors are saying, "You don't need God." Oh, no, they're wrong. God is right every time.
Not only are they wrong, Terry, two points I want to make.
Sure.
The colleges and university systems were started by the Roman Catholic Church in the 9th century in Italy.
That was the
first university. So that's point number one. Number two, science was started by the Catholic Church in the universities. The Catholic Church started the discipline of science. Number three, the fathers of the church and the scholastics teach all truth comes from God, whether it's scientific truth, biological truth, genetic truth, biblical truth, historic.
That's right.
Anything that's true comes from God. So whatever's true in science, like the law of gravity, what comes up comes from down. Guess who wrote that law, inscribed it into the physical realm? It was God that did that.
And I might also add that our culture's trying to define their own reality, like they don't believe in gravity. So when they jump off that 10-story building, they think while they're going through the air, "Hey, no gravity, I don't believe in it." But I tell you what, at that sudden stop at the end, they're going to have to believe it. And again, when we do our exit interview, you'll now know the reality of life when you meet Jesus Christ on your exit interview. Jesse, I just want to remind...
Terry, we're all going there. And
of course, nobody gets that alive.
And Terry, and I'm telling you, the people that are going to run this country, they're very old. They are very close to that exit interview.
Yep.
I hope they repent.
Well, we pray for them.
And believe in the gospel.
Absolutely. Repent and believe in the gospel. I want to remind everybody, the Spiritual Warfare Conference, if you missed it, January 16th, we're going to be doing a virtual conference. You can still register by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-877-877. 866-526-2151. Remember, after this show, those listening on AM and FM, you can get our app or go to YouTube and listen to the Bible with the Barbers. We're going to talk about what is your worldview and what is God's worldview. And you know what? What is God's worldview is essential for that exit interview. Jess, finish it up.
That's right. Terry, there's kind of a misunderstanding, so I just want to clear the air.
Go ahead, clarify it.
Yeah, some people, you'll have some, and they're well-intentioned.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, we don't pray to Mary, we pray through her. That's what a lot of some Catholics say. And I've heard about a Catholic radio, and they mean well.
Yeah.
They're wrong. We don't pray through Mary, we pray to her. Okay? That's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. Okay?
Yep.
It says in paragraph 2679, we can pray with and to her.
Amen.
T-O. We pray to... Paragraph 2679. She's a person. We pray to her. 2679 of the Catechism.
The problem with you, Romero, is you just want to give us the facts and the paragraphs. Put that Catechism away. No, we say get it out. That's why, just so you know, on Tuesdays, Bishop Joseph Strickland, we're doing a catechism teaching with Bishop Strickland. Why? Because we need to open that book like Jesse just did. Up next, Bible with the Barbers. What is your world vision and what is God's world vision? God love you.